Welcome to the Atlanta Dream Center podcast. Here you can listen to our recent sermons. Our hope is that today you are transformed by Jesus and you grow in your walk with Christ. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website, atlantadreamcenter.com. Grab a pen, put in your headphones, and let's dig into the Word.
Give those guys a hand if you can. Great people, great people. All right, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6 is where we're going. Romans chapter 6. Now listen, I'm long-winded, and I knew that today was going to be a busy Sunday, so it's a little bit shorter of a sermon. For those who are timely, I am getting you out on time. If you will just give me 10 extra minutes, that's all I ask of you. Give me 10 extra minutes, I'll get you out on time. Now I'll get you out on time, I think I could do it. We've been talking a good bit on Romans. This is our 11th week. We're in chapter 6. And we're going to burn through a good bit today because Paul is breaking some stuff out. And now, I want to give you a little recap. And I'm going to try to slow down my speech. I know I talk too fast for all my people who English is your second language. Thank you for bearing with me. I'm going to slow it down, trying to help. But chapter 6, we're in it, and he's been talking a lot. Paul's been talking a lot. And one of the things I want you to remember is that this is a letter. As in, when he wrote this, he didn't number his sentences. He didn't put chapters in. It was one continuous thought. Now, this is important when you read the Bible to understand that kind of context. I say this every week because I want to drill it in your head. That when you go to the end of chapter 5, verse 21, Paul didn't pause there. No, he was continuing to write. And we're going to pick up on verse 16 here in a minute. But we want to remember that this is one long letter that we're breaking down. Number one, that's that. Number two, the other thing I want to point out is that Paul has been really, really going in deep on that you and I, who are believers of Jesus Christ, we are the descendants of Abraham. He says, man, you become part of the promise that was to Abraham through Jesus, that Jesus was the promise given to Abraham. He says, from this seed, from here, the nations will be blessed. And so Paul's making a really important point all through Romans to really clarify something. You and I are part of a great heritage that we read all through the Old Testament because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you guys are so thankful that Jesus Christ has saved your life? You know what? Yeah, me too. Let me just remind you something. We're all in this room together. I know you. We like each other because of what Christ did on the cross and his resurrection. Isn't that just an incredible testimony? Because a lot of you are my dear brothers and sisters. And I would have never known you unless you and I were both knitted together through Christ. I love that. Now, he's also, though, been going through chapter 5 and 6. He's been really hitting on something. That righteousness, standing right before God, is not found in your behavior towards the law. When I say the law, I mean the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, Levitical law. He says, now, righteousness is found in faith. You become right with God by what? Believing his word. Now, I clarify this a lot because English has different words than the Greek and different words than the Hebrew. But when we say believe, we don't mean acknowledge that it might be true. When we say believe, it means we rely on this for our lives. We put all of our weight on this. So it says in scriptures, when you have faith like Abraham, that's what it says in chapter 5, faith like Abraham, you will be saved. And what was the faith of Abraham? That even if it meant laying down his son, he knew God wouldn't lie. That God was going to raise him up from the dead. God would do something. Now, how many of you guys want to have that kind of faith that regardless of the circumstances, you are unwavering? How many of you guys want that kind of faith? Man, I want you to have that kind of faith, and you need to work on that. Now, today, we're going to be talking about slavery. And I know slavery is taboo. I know slavery is like, it's wicked and it's a crime. But Paul's going to use slavery as an illustration. In fact, if you want to go to verse 22, I think. 19, wow. Thank you for reading my notes. My notes are on the Church Center app if you guys want to check it out. Verse 19 is what Paul says of chapter 6. He says, because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you all understand this. Now, I want to say something really quick about reading the Bible as first-class citizens of the world. And I'm talking about you as an American. You're a first-class citizen of the world. You and I don't get just peanuts and a little soda of ginger ale. No, we get the hot towels on our faces, all right? And we'd have it no other way. You and I are American. We're super rich. I know that you want to be richer because you think riches has to do with comparison. But the reality of it is we're the richest nation that's ever existed. Isn't that crazy? There's only been four generations that have had vehicles where you didn't have to ride a horse or walk. You could live. I live in Conyers, Georgia right now. All right, you guys know where Conyers is? Rockdale County? Some of you guys have no idea that's even a place. It's 26 miles away from here. Just four generations ago, I would not be coming to this church. Just four generations ago, I would not be waking up at 1 a.m. to walk here before a 10 a.m. service. I want to ride my horse. I would shoot my horse. I would say, I don't want to deal with that no more. You and I was in the back room. We were talking about stuff. And one of the things we were talking about was, what I said was, I think a lot of us would die back in the, we would have been the weak ones who died in the winter four generations ago. Because you and I are so used to air conditioning. We're so used to that. If I don't see a family member, my parents live in Woodstock. That's an hour drive from my house. I can literally pick up my phone and I can look at my mom and we can have a live conversation. Some of us don't even recognize the riches we're in. And so when we read the scriptures, and Paul, which he's not gonna say in this scripture, but he says in Philippians, and he says in other scriptures, in Ephesians, he says things like, slaves, be good to your masters even when they're not watching you. And we look at that and go, ugh, how could Paul, how can the Bible be okay with slavery? Ugh. And we forget that the context of the entire world, that we're in the first time ever in the entire world, in the entire history of every generation where slavery wasn't a part, well, it is actually, it's too far removed from you, where it isn't a part of your economic structure of a country. And so we read these things and we struggle. And we read things not in the context of what Paul was writing to, because as he's writing to those in Rome, slavery was a normal societal thing. It was very normal. It wasn't like this taboo thing. No, it was like, no, those guys got captured. Now they're slaves. Those guys over there, they're a minority in this region. They can't defend themselves. So they've been overtaken by other people and they become slaves. I'm saying this because I want to get outside of slavery. I want to go to you and how you read the Word of God. Do not think that as you sit in your first class seat in America, that you can read the Bible and even fully comprehend the depths of it if you're trying to use the lens of your riches. There is a deepness to here. There's a deepness in here that is so rich, but sometimes you read it through your lens of how wealthy you are and you can't understand a scripture like what it means to rest. And your idea of rest is like, you know, I don't wanna use rest, let me use it. I always use rest and I like vacations. I don't want you guys to think I hate vacations. You look at things like giving up your life, but you would never give up your riches. The rich young ruler in the book of Matthew, you look at that scripture and it's a nightmare question for you. Will you give everything to the poor and follow me? Now, I hope God never asked that of me. And so what happens? And I wanna just jump to Matthew 13 really quick, because I'm talking about your lens. There's this Christianity in America, Christianity in Europe. There's a Christianity in all these first world countries where there's a bunch of Christians, but there's no fruit. There's a ton of believers. There's a ton of people singing the same songs we sing in different languages, but they're so rich. And what happened is they go, man, I want joy. I want peace. I want the fruit of following the Holy Spirit. I want to be selfless. I want to be able to forgive. And we proclaim all these things, but we don't have any evidence that we're living this way. I think there's a really key scripture in Matthew 13. Jesus is talking about the gospel and how it falls in people's ears and how they receive it. He says the first one, they have no understanding and the enemy just takes it from them. Nothing happens when the gospel lands on them. You know people like this. You preach the gospel to them, they don't care. I don't care. They don't want anything to do with it. It doesn't even plant. You know, sometimes we talk about you planted a seed. Sometimes that seed's getting stolen from a bird, as the scripture says. The enemy takes it from them because they have no understanding. And then there's another one. It says that he receives the gospel. Jesus Christ is Lord, the King of God, the King of, I'm sorry, the world, takes that gospel and receives it with so much excitement. But when persecution rises up against the church, they die out so that they can't handle it. But the third one is what I believe is a real issue that you might have. And it's not because you're special. It's because you and I are born in a very difficult situation. We live in the United States of America, where all of our needs are met on a daily basis. All of our wants are literally a day away. All your fantasies are literally on the internet. You have it. So what does scripture say about the third person who receives? It says the third person who receives the gospel. It goes deep inside of them. That grows a great crop out of them, but it gets choked out by thorns and thistles. And the Lord says those thorns and thistles are the deceitfulness of riches and the world. And so what happens? They receive Jesus. And then it says, by the way, Jesus says, and those ones, though they are the stalk, though they have the growth out of the gospel, it says they bear no fruit. They have no fruit. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but Christ doesn't say he's coming back for stock. He says he's coming back for those who have fruit. And he says, whatever tree doesn't have fruit, he says he's going to chop it down. And check this out, because he says this pretty violently, and we're going to throw it into the fire where it will burn forever. And so what do we have? We have a bunch of Christians who read the scriptures, but we've been so full of riches and deceit that we twist the scriptures. And we have all this problem with the scriptures because we have these thorns that are choking us out. And we can't imagine not having money in our life. And so when we read things like, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, or if you follow the Holy Spirit, you will have peace. Or we read things like, don't have anxiety. He says this in Philippians 4, man, don't have anxiety. Instead, bring all your supplications to the Lord and give him thanks, and he will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. We look at that scripture, we say, yeah, but I still have anxiety. Why do we do that? Because we're so full of deceit. You know what my anxiety problem is? I need a vacation. I just need more money in my life. I have anxiety because I don't have enough. Now, I want to say this about your lens of the scriptures. A battle that you need to fight, because we're going to get into this. I can't spend any more time on what I'm talking about, this lens thing. But while we get into this, I need to put this to you. Don't read the scriptures and try to tie it into your life. Rather, submit your life to the scriptures. Does that make sense? Stop trying to take the scriptures and apply it to you. Instead, take your life and say, whatever the scriptures is, I will dive fully in head first, full of faith that this thing is legit. Because Paul is going to use slavery, and I want to use slavery too, to talk about some sin issues, even though you've been set free. Paul's been talking in the book of Romans about, man, you are no longer bound to sin. Your righteousness is now in faith. And he asked the question in the beginning of chapter 6. He says, well, if I'm righteous because I believe the Father, shouldn't we just keep sinning? How many of you guys like sinning? Anyone in here? You can raise your hand. I know you do, you little liars. You like to sin. So he brings up the question, well, if I'm righteous because of faith, and I'm not righteous because I follow these laws, brother, what are we doing? Brother, what are we doing? You mean I could rob a bank and God's like, you're okay? So he writes out, he says, you like how he's robbing a bank? Have you guys ever imagined robbing a bank before?
All the time.
Yeah, me too. Movies. He says this, man. He says, man, we've been united. I want to go back to verse 14. He says, why would you even want to sin if you've been set free? So he's the illustration of slavery. He says, sin, number 14 of chapter 6, is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirement of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well, then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we could go on sinning? No. No. If you have anyone in this church, anyone in your life who says, no, go ahead and keep sinning, will you just show them, it says right here, no, don't keep sinning. Verse 16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever, everyone say, choose to obey. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose, everyone say, choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Verse 17, thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, But now you will wholeheartedly, everyone say, obey. This teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give. You must give yourselves to be slaves of righteousness, living that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do what was right. Pause. I actually love that scripture. I want to say something to you. Some of you guys don't like that you're free from sin because now you feel obligated to do what's right. Some of you guys have trouble with a conviction of the Holy Spirit who's now giving you an obligation to stay out of sin. And you're going, I don't want to stay out of sin. I wish I didn't have this freedom of Christ, because you look around all these people in the world and you have envy in your eye that they get all these chicks and they get all these dudes and they get all this fun. And they go out to the club and you look at them going, man, I wish I didn't have this obligation. I want what they have. Thinking that your freedom is not worth it because you see the pleasures of the world. But he says, man, now you're obligated to do what's right. And what was the result? We'll get to this at the end. You are now ashamed of the things you used to do. How many of you guys are so ashamed of the things you used to do? Anyone in here? Man, that's the power of the freedom of Christ. He says, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to talk about choosing. I'm going to say the wrong word. No, it's not okay because it's so silly sounding. I want to say the proclamation of anticipation, which is not it. What? Anticipation, thank you. Yeah. When the slaves were set free in America, shut up, dude. Yeah, I got it. Why do I want to say anticipation? People were anticipating, I guess. I don't know. I read this book, great book. I really love it. It's by Booker T. Washington. It's called Up From Slavery. It's an incredible book. I really encourage you to read it. If you ever want to read about a man who loves the Lord, who was born into slavery and became someone who is a pillar to the United States of America. Great book. But one of the things he talks about in coming out of slavery was that many men, many women did not leave the plantation, and they would actually stay in slavery. And he talks about a few different reasons. One of it was economic strain. They had nowhere to go. They got free from a slave, or from their master, yet though in their slavery, they didn't go anywhere. And they thought, well, I'm not going to change my life now that I have freedom. I'm just going to stay here. Some of them had really good relationships with their masters. Some of these were children that Booker T. Washington talks about. These were children that these women had raised up, and those children had become their masters, and they had very close relationships, and they were treated very well, and they didn't want to abandon this community, because slavery, especially in these generations back then, it's not like today where it's corporate slavery in China and they're making your Nikes and stuff like that. Not like that. This was very communal. You are very tight-knit to the people you're with. It wasn't accompanying nameless people. No. It was like you saw them day in and day out. This was their entire community. And so they didn't want to leave their community, because leaving their community meant that you might not have a community and you might be alone, and it's human nature not to be alone. So many of them were afraid to leave. Others would try to leave, but they would find it too hard to go out there in the freedom and face an enemy of laws in the South, put all these, you know, slave laws out where they're hindering their growth, and they didn't think it was worth the fight. So what do? They would just go back to the plantation. Even though the owners had no legal right over them, they would literally sign themselves back up to it. And it was fascinating reading that, because you and I, we think to ourselves, brother, if I was in slavery and they got me free, I'm jogging out of that place. Now, if I got free, I would be done. I would never look back. But many of these men wouldn't. Many of them stayed for generations still after that, serving families. And a lot of people think, well, that's appalling. How would someone stay to an old master, especially the mean ones? Because a lot of it wasn't just good relationships. Some of it was, these were wicked masters who treated them poorly, who denounced their name, and their identities were so warped. They didn't even want to get out because they felt like that's who they belonged at. I'm not leaving here. Even though freedom was proclaimed to all of them, I love how Paul writes. He says, man, I'm writing to you about slavery because of your human nature, how weak you are. That you are free from sin. And some of you can't get out of sin. Some of you have no idea how to stop your sin because it's going to cost you your community. And so what do? You stay in the slavery of sin. And let me just tell you right now, sin is not a good master to you. Oh, he feeds you. Oh, he gives you some pleasure here and there. Oh, he makes you feel like $1 million sometimes, but he beats you in the closet. He torments you in your sleep. He keeps you from ever having real joy. He'll give you a taste of it. Oh, you want some scraps from my table? Now get back to work and feed me your flesh. He says in scriptures, he says, man, you know how silly it is? You're free now. And this is what I love about freedom. Freedom, pause. Some of us come out of sin and we want Jesus to be the same kind of master sin was to us, where he beats us into submission. Some of us actually think God is that master and you're afraid of him, and the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And so you don't want to get out of your sin. So you'll stay shacked up with your girlfriend. You'll be committing sexual morality. But you're thinking, I don't want to get out of this. I'm going to stay in my sin because I don't want to get out of it because, you know, the Father's just going to discipline me and beat me. And this devil right here is a lot better. At least I get some pleasure from it. But if I have to pull away, he's probably going to make me homeless. The Father in heaven is probably going to make me suffer for my sins. He's going to come at me as a bad master. But he says, no, I made you free. And this is what I love about freedom. He now puts it on you to decide. You read these scriptures. It says you're free. So now choose. No, I don't want to choose, God. You do it for me. Be the master who forces me. No. I made you free. Now choose to get out of sin. No. But God, I want to get out of sin, but will you just do it for me? No. I set you free. That old master has no authority over you, so now you choose. I got to say this to everyone in this room. I hear too many Christians say, I'm bound up in sin. I'm bound up in sin. Like Christ's blood didn't free you. No, you're not bound up in sin. You love sin. Okay, and it's okay. You will love sin. I want to just tell you something. If you have a love for sin, let me tell you a little secret. You need to recognize that the enemy is deceiving you to keep you on his plantation. And he's saying, no, but eat some more scraps from my table. See how good that tastes? And you're going, I want to leave God, but he keeps feeding me and I like it. And you need the Lord to come into your life and say, no, don't you understand? He's dragging you to hell. I love this scripture. You were once slaves, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching. I love this scripture. What you choose to follow, when you choose to obey, you become the slave to that person. He says, so you can choose to obey God. It goes a little bit further, though, because I love this other one over here. He says this right here. He says, man, you are, where is it? Now, give yourself to be slaves to righteous living. This is why I love the scripture. You think that God's going to make you a slave who beats you into submission. He's actually looking at you saying, I freed you from the beating of submission to sin. Now I'm giving you the power to choose righteousness. I want to say this to you right now, everyone in this room. You got a sin issue? Stop blaming the devil. God set you free. Now choose to get out. You got a sin issue? Listen, I'm all the time. I'm getting tempted in. There's times I fall into sin. I said a stupid lie to my wife the other day. It was so stupid. I told her I was in the car. I was in my office. I don't know why I did that. I even told her the next day, I lied to you. I don't know why. Now that's minor. But what about sexual morality? What about pornography? What about these things? I want to tell you right now. I'm going to say it to you over and over and over again. And I mean this, bro. You got Christ. You call upon his name. You take on his blood. You're free. You don't have to stay there no more. Bro, you can walk out on him. But Tommy, it's going to cost me. For some of you, like I said, it's going to cost you your community. That's all you've known. You go into the club afterwards because that's all you know. These are your buds. I mean, you grew up with these dudes. And you're telling me I have freedom and I should walk away, but I don't want to leave that. I don't want to leave that. I'd rather stay in my sin. You know, the devil hasn't been that bad to me. Sin hasn't been that bad. It's not as bad as it is to that guy over there or that girl over there. And I'm not being trafficked. You know, it's not that stuff. So surely he's not that bad of a master. Can't I love the Lord from the enemy's camp? Can't I love the Lord while I stay in my own sin? And let me tell you really quick about the doctrine of our, Let me tell you really quick about the doctrine of our riches. You know, it says the deceitfulness of the world and riches. One of the things I think is so fascinating is how many theologies and theories, I should just say theories, not theologies, how many theories have been laid out before you and you take them as fact. Well, you know, when I was a kid, my dad didn't really love me enough, and that's why I act this way. And so what do? We have the comfort and the leisure and the riches to push off our behavior onto generations past. And people go, yeah, but no, it is true. If he treated you that way, brother, we're Christians. We have been adopted in through Christ. That's why we forgive people, because we are no longer bound to the slavery of the world, that what happened in my past now affects me like this. But Tommy, I still gotta say it has an impact. I get it has an impact, but I know my response can be different because of Christ. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. This is all the riches that have been deceiving you. So you go around and you say, I can't change. It's my personality. Bro, personality is a Greek word that means mask. It has nothing to do with who you are. It's who you perform as. Oh, that's my personality. Then change your mask. Put on righteousness. Be someone who says, no, I'm done being in this. Now, I want to say something because this is maybe the more important part. I've noticed this in my own observations, that those who are dark in the world, those who have these really bad bondages, and I'm going to say some nasty things real quick. People who, young women, who have been overly abused by boyfriends and men that their mother brought into the house, or family members who then lived in a dark, dark world, when they come to Christ, not one of you could see that stench on them anymore. But those who were raised in the church, who like that old master, who didn't get treated so bad like that girl did, you somehow make a lot of excuses to continue serving sin as if it has authority in your life. And you tell everybody every reason why it still has authority in your life. This is what happened to me, so this is who I am. And you grab onto theories and you deny the truth. You have been set free. Obey the Lord. Walk away from sin. You are now obligated to do what is right. Yeah, but I got anger issues because my dad was, brother, you got Jesus or not? That's what I want to ask you. You got Jesus or not? Yeah, but Jesus ain't doing it for me. Well, then maybe you should turn to him. Because maybe it's not Jesus isn't doing it for you. Maybe you've been doing this with Jesus. You won't look at him, but you're saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. Instead of saying, no, no, God, actually, I'll submit to you. Because it says this right here. Let me read it to you again. Now you wholeheartedly obey the teachings that was given to you. And you have become slaves of righteous living. This is what Christianity is. I'm free from sin. Now I can choose to be a slave to righteousness. Let me make the difference really quick as I come to an end. Not, I'm freed from sin, now God's making me become righteous. You know, I have freedom. You understand the nature of freedom, you now get to choose. Some of you guys have been cursing freedom. I don't like the idea that I get to choose. God, just do it for me. He's like, you want me to put you back in bondage? No, 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 brother, I freed you. I freed you. Now you could obey me. I love this one. You could be a slave to sin. Obey it. And it's going to kill you. You thought you were getting away with it. It's killing you. He says, or you can choose to obey God. Check this out. Which leads to righteous living. Some of you guys are still fighting God, asking for him to be like your old master. And because he won't, you keep going to your old master. Because he won't force you into righteousness, you keep going to the one who tempts you. Because he won't force you to do what's right, you will run off like a, Can I just use the words like the prophets, which we're going to talk about this a little bit more, about how the prophets spoke to Israel. And I'm going to put a little time out in here for a second. I can't. I'm not going to put that time out. We're not going to do that time out. You will hear it soon, though. All right? But no, the prophets will look at Israel while they're in the covenant with God at the time. The old covenant was not done away with, like it says in Hebrews. There wasn't a new one. There's a new one today, but the old covenant, when they're with him, he would say, you guys are harlots. You say you love me. You say that I'm yours. You sing the songs and praises in the temple. You're bringing sacrifices to me. Yet you have a relationship with idols. You say that you're mine. You say that you are one with me. You say whatever you want, Father, I will do. Yet you're on the side saying it to your side piece, God. Oh, but my mighty idol. And God says, man, that's harlotry. And Paul's over here. He's writing this. He says, bro, you've been free from sin. You know, you're righteous because you believe in him. And you're going, well, then it's okay to sin. Then I'm okay to sin because my righteousness is here. He goes, no, but don't you see how foolish that is? Don't you see that you're weak? That it's literally, this is what it's like, that you've been freed from slavery, but you won't leave the plantation of the master who beats you, who takes you to death. It's not, oh, well, if I stop sinning, then I'm righteous, I'm going to be saved. He's saying, yeah, but why would you stay there? Now, I want to say this, if you're in this room and you're afraid that if you leave the world, that means you're going to have to leave your community of friends. I'm going to tell you right now, it is worth being free from sin and not having that community anymore. If you're in this house and you don't know how it's going to work, if you leave the world, and like the slaves in the old times in America were afraid that economically they might die, I'm going to tell you right now, it's better to die a free man than to die a slave. Yeah. It's better. And when it comes to slavery and sin, we might mock, we might look at people bewildered that in those days that with man they would stay with their masters. But I think the angels in heaven are bewildered that men and women who come together every day to proclaim the gospel and goodness of Jesus Christ are not wanting to leave the old slave grounds, even though they have the choice to free themselves. And what they do is they lay down on those nasty grounds. And they give every excuse, well, I'm here because of what my father did. I'm here because of what my past was. I'm here and I can't get out of this sin because my desires are just stronger than anybody else. And my personality is just this way. I can't because when I was a kid, this happened. I can't because this is just who I am. And what they do is they give every reason not to leave slavery. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's a point where you start thinking, that's just laziness. And this is where my fear is. Matthew 13. A bunch of believers who have the gospel, great stock. When the wind blows, we all go together. But there's no fruit. Because we weren't willing to get the thorns out of us, the deceitfulness of riches that have lied to us, that we are fully convinced that we're stuck here in slavery. And that we'll never get out of it, and we'll just have to live in secret because of it. And we never have the fruit of joy. We don't have gentleness. We have outbursts of wrath. We don't have love. No, we're just full of lust. And we don't have any self-control, man. Anytime something pulls on our strings, man, we outburst. We act out, and all of a sudden we have no fruit. And all it is we have all this deceit inside of us. Because we have the leisure of so much money that we haven't fought off the thorns in our lives. What it does to us, how it deceives us. And we think so haughty of ourselves, I would never be like that. Yet we are like that spiritually. And this is my fear, is that we won't leave our old master. Because God's saying, choose it. And there's one thing we hate to hear, is that we have to do a part of this covenant. One thing we hate is to hear that God did his part, and now he's saying, now you choose me. Now you follow me. Now you lay down your life. Now you sacrifice. No, do get rid of your riches. Don't you see eternity? No, do this thing. Oh, you got money? No, don't go make it so you have security. He says in scriptures, to those who are rich, tell them to do good. Oh, you guys get money, and all you think about is, how can I get more? Scripture says, no, this is what it means to follow me. Do good with your money. Not that investing is bad, but invest unto good things. How can I sow more into my brothers and sisters? How can I help my brother and sister who's struggling? How can I bless those around me? When you think about money, that's not your goal. Your goal is like, I just want to make sure that I'm secure. My children are secure. A wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It's like, yes and amen. But scripture says, give to the good, or do good with your finances to those around you. I said I needed 10 extra minutes. I need 3 extra minutes. So you guys got it good. I want you to rise to your feet real quick. I want to encourage you. Before I pray over you, Jesus Christ has freed you. And if you've had in your head for a long time the deceitfulness of this world has caught you, and you thought you can't overcome sin, that you're a Christian and you keep falling back into it, I want to just tell you right now, you can choose to obey him. You can. No, you don't need anything extra. Your wife, your husband doesn't need to perform more for you. No, you can do this. If you're in this room and you've been struggling with sin, you can choose righteousness. If you've been in this room and you thought, man, I want to follow God, I just haven't been able to follow him wholeheartedly, I want to say this. You can wholeheartedly follow him. You can. Oh, Tommy, I don't know. I don't know if I could give my life into doing righteousness. No. You can't choose this. You don't, when the temptation comes and you're on your phone and no one's around, you can't say, no, I've turned that off. I've been set free. That master no longer has any authority over me. When you have bitterness swelling up inside of you towards your spouse and you want to just spit venom at them, you can't say, no, I will keep my mouth shut. I will bless them. You can love those who hate you and want your downfall, who speak terrible about you. You can turn the other cheek. That's the beauty of Romans chapter 6. You are now free. And you're no longer bound up to do, I can't. No, you can. You're free. So now choose him. You're free. I want to pray over you that you would be someone who doesn't use the freedom to stay, who doesn't take the freedom that you're no longer a slave of sin, and you don't take that freedom and stay in sin. No, you take that freedom and you run. Even if it costs you everything, you run from it and say, I got freedom. Because you don't want to be the fool who had freedom but never left. So Father, I pray over my brothers and sisters in this room. Lord, there's been a deceit that's choked them. We've been so rich that we thought the pleasure of thinking that we were not at fault for our behaviors. Father, I pray that that is broken off of them right now. Will you show them that they are free? Now they can choose righteousness. Father, will you show them right now, God, that they are free, that they can choose to obey you, that they don't have to disobey. It is not like the old days where they're slaves to sin. They had no choice. They were dragged everywhere by their desires. Father, you've given them freedom. They can. Oh, Father, I pray right now over everyone in this house. Reveal to them, you are free. So choose to get out. You are now righteous because you believe in him. So now choose to stay away from your old master. You are free. Pornography doesn't have a hold on you. You are free. Say no more, old master. I've died to you. I have a new one I live for. And I will submit to him. Tell that old master, my new master doesn't force me to. He just calls me to it. I'm choosing to follow him. Oh, man, God, I pray right now, Father, those who have bitterness welled up in their hearts. Oh, Father, those who know you, but they still hold on to unforgiveness. Father, I pray right now, Jesus, you show them you are free to choose. You're not held up to that anymore. So choose to be righteous. So, Father, I pray over everyone in this house. May we not be slaves anymore, Father, to the ways of sin. God, may we not give our obedience anymore. Oh, Father, we can now choose to give our allegiance not to the things and the pleasures of this world, not to self-satisfaction, but now to you. We are free. And God, for a lot of us, that seems hard. We've never, ever left that old master. We don't even know what it would look like to get out and say, no, I'm not going to listen to you no more. God, we don't even know what it would be like, even economically, even with fellowship, even with friends, even the daunting task to be alone off that land that old owner kept me on. Father, I pray right now, you give us courage to run, to cut off everything it takes. For Father, we don't want to waste our freedom by staying slaves. So Father, we love you, we praise you in the name of Jesus. Hey, hold up, keep your heads bowed for just a second. If you're in this house and you've never given your life to the Lord, today I wanna give you an opportunity. Listen, in this room, there's men and women who are abused and were abusers. In this room, there's men and women who were in dark places doing nasty stuff secretly, but because society allowed it, wasn't that big of a deal. But man, it brought guilt and shame. They felt empty inside. I'm gonna tell you right now, they can testify to you that Jesus can set you free if you call upon his name. And the slave master who owned you today, who drags you, who gives you the pleasure of anger, yet that makes you feel guilty in the night, I'm telling you right now, he can free you from him. All you gotta do is turn to him. All you gotta do is call upon his name. I wanna give you an opportunity today. If you've never given your life to the Lord, you've never tasted freedom, you didn't know you could choose, that you don't have to please men no more, but you could please him. Today I wanna give you an opportunity. You're not gonna come up on the stage. I'm not gonna have everyone look at you. All I'm gonna have you do is raise your hand, but hold on for a second, because maybe you were in this room and you used to follow Jesus, but you backslid. And every backslider knows what backsliding is. You went backwards. You had freedom, but then you went and decided to live in the campground of your old master, and you said, I don't want that freedom. And so you've been in sin. You haven't been choosing the master. No, you haven't been choosing Christ. No, you've been totally abandoned to him, and you want to come home today. I want to tell you something. He's not going to punish you like your own master did. No, he's going to love on you. He's going to put a new robe on you. He's going to give you a new life. And today, I want to give you the invitation. You could come home today. So if you're in this house, you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you've given your life to the Lord multiple times, but today you want to come back, all I want you to do, no one's going to look at you, all I want you to do is put your hand up real high. Come on. Come on. I got you. I got you. I see you. Come on. I see you. I see you, big bro. Come on. Listen to me, all those who raise your hand. You put your hand down. We're going to say this prayer together. We're all gonna say it because some people in here might not have the courage like you to raise their hand, all right? But we're gonna say this prayer. This prayer can mean everything or can mean nothing. For my dad, it was a different prayer than what we're praying today. For my dad, it was, if you're really like those people say you are, then do something in my life. That's the day his life changed, but he meant that prayer. For me, it was, Father, I'm ready this time. I'm coming after you. That was my prayer. And for you, we're gonna say some words. We're gonna say, God, forgive me. We're gonna say, Lord, I'm gonna give you my life. I'm committed to you. But the reality of it is, it isn't those words, it's that heart of yours. It's that desire of yours to really be his. And I want to just encourage you, don't just say these words. No, cry it out to the Father. Father, I want you to do it in me. Do something, free me. So this is what I want you to do. I want everyone in this house, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Everyone say, Dear Father, I need you to set me free. I believe in the power of your blood and the resurrection. And I'm asking right now, forgive me of all my sin. Free me from this master of the world and be my master. I'll follow you. I'm dedicating my life to you. Just set me free and I'm yours. And Father, I ask that you help me walk it out. Help me exit that old life and walk anew with you. So Father, I'm asking this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Hold up, devil, I'm just gonna tell you right now, I'm saying it out loud so they can hear me. You do not own them. You have no authority over them. Satan, you have nothing on them anymore. They have been set free by the blood of Christ. He has purchased them and they said, Dad, take me. And they are free. So I renounce every lie, Every little stickle you put in there and say, no, this is truth. No, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. They no longer have to hold bitterness. They no longer have to be bound up to sexual immorality. They no longer have to be bound up to greed and envy. They are free because of what Christ has done in their life. So, Father, I pray over them right now that Jesus, you work a wonder in them that they might testify, my God has set me free. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Church, it says in scriptures, when one turns, there's a celebration in heaven. We had five people say, I want to give my life to the Lord. Will you show them what it sounds like in heaven right now?